Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose.
Taz Moose, a Friday morning. Good Friday to one and all on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Who understands that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage? That's the difference. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 50% or more on your car.
What is that smell in here? I smell almost like rancid food. Good morning. Do you smell it? You don't smell it?
No.
It smells like...
Well, the garbage is right behind you.
All right. Yeah. That could be what I smell.
I mean, that's, that could be it, no?
Yeah.
No, well, welcome I do to the not, show, everybody. You yeah. have, like, Superman nostrils
I do.
Compared to me.
So yeah, especially in the morning.
I don't smell half the stuff that you do.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever, it's all good.
I don't pick up on that. But maybe it's trash.
It could be.
Mike, can you take the trash out of the room, please?
I'll go in there and smell it. Well, thank you. Give another perspective.
No, it's all good. It's all good. It's
trash.
You don't mean nothing bothers me. I just battle through. You know, that's how I am.
We got NFL picks coming your way as we wrapped up last hour with our college selections. We got NFL picks coming your way later on this hour, Taz. And the return of a Taz and the Moose favorite as well.
Are we going to say who it is now? Or you
no, I don't
us?
Think so. Keep it.
Not PKS. No,
who's no it's not the great PKS. No.
PKS? No. Yeah, no, not the great guess. No, yeah, we'll just leave it as a hook.
Yes.
It's been a while, but it apparently this guy's back.
Triumphant return. Look forward to it.
Can I give the people a hint?
Whatever you'd like, sure.
Nah, it's probably not the right thing to do.
Okay.
Well, because I'll tell you later. I'll tell you on the air. Well, because he's this person. Nah, because I'm going to spoil it then. I can't
all right.
do it. See, that's more of the hook. See
what I just did there? No, I know. Well done. I'm very clever. Nice very job. Clever. Here we go, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
The Eagles defense steals late win in Green Bay.
Oh, they do. I mean, they absolutely do, does the Philadelphia Eagles. Packers led that Thursday night game. Finally, folks, you can stand up, applaud, and celebrate. We got an entertaining Thursday night game, Taz.
Yeah.
I mean, and for the first time in a while, we've got back and forth on the product. Last night was a good one. Eagles desperate for a win. You could say it's a season-saving victory, as they're now a 2-2 team after the 34-27 victory last night. The Packers are now 3-1. Green Bay had every opportunity to win it, leading 10-0. You can get to the play calling of LaFleur as well. All they did was throw it. Rodgers threw for over 400 yards, but also threw the ball 53 times. The Eagles were a more well-balanced offensive team. And that Eagle team, there were, let's see, nine plays. The last two Packer drives ended with plays inside the Eagles' 10-yard line, right? So down seven, they drive all the way down to the Eagles' one. They had six opportunities. Two from the six, four from the one. Did not get in on any of them. Eagles get the ball back. Packers then get the ball after stopping the Eagles on a punt, right?
Yeah.
Now the Packers drive all the way down, and what was it, third and goal opportunity, Taz, where Rodgers get the ball gets tipped on the slant?
Yeah, it was a crossing pattern.
Right.
With a guy that I call now MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scandling, and Darius Shepard, a rookie. They have a little crossing pattern on a route, and then what happens is a hard throw from Rodgers. I'm drawing a blank on his name. And the two cornerbacks from the Eagles made just a great play because they didn't bite. They didn't bite on the rookie, Shepard, who was wide open in the corner of the end zone, and they both doubled up real quick on Valdes-Scandling, and it was Malcolm Jenkins and Craig James who did that. Tipped up, boom. Bradham gets the ball, the linebacker, middle linebacker for the Eagles, interception. That's what happened right there.
That is. It was second and goal, not third and goal, my bad.
But what I was saying earlier, Moose, was that, I mean, again, it's armchair quarterbacking at its blatant best, but man, I felt for Rodgers because when he watches this tape back, which you probably watched it already, he's probably kicking himself in the rear end because if he would have waited just another teeny second, his goal was to hit Valdes-Scandling. He was not even thinking about Darius Shepard, who was, I'm telling you, wide open.
No, it was wide open.
Wide open.
Wide open, breaking toward the right pylon.
Correct. That's exactly right.
He was absolutely wide open. Now, Rodgers last night, Taz, 5 of 16 in the red zone, 2 touchdowns and a pick. They had so many opportunities. We mentioned earlier on, we kicked off the program talking about this a couple hours ago, Taz. You know, if you're LaFleur, you have a first and goal at the one-yard line on your second-to-last possession. You throw the ball on four occasions. How at one point in time do you not try and run it and stuff it in there? Being that opportunity, having that kind of opportunity, Eagle defensive line that struggled a little bit, Taz. You mean to tell me you can't gain a 1 yard with Aaron Jones running it? You gave up on the run. Aaron Rodgers was your leading rusher in the game. You know, people are going to criticize LaFleur here, and we all know that the Eagles secondary with Taz was all banged up, but sometimes you can get too cute. You know, there is a place for running the football. Last night, there were so many opportunities for Green Bay to do it, and all they did was throw and throw and throw and throw some more.
I know. It was a bad, bad look, especially as you pointed out, Aaron Rodgers was the leading rusher, like you said. He had 46 yards with five attempts rushing, so I mean, he's pretty athletic for a guy his age, and run a, I don't care, run a quarterback sneak, run a quarterback draw, something. Just it's a yard, and even if it's a long yard, you know, he's 6'3", 6'4", however, he's a big guy. I mean, and you got a stout offensive line there for the Green Bay Packers who played well all night.
They did, you know? A disappointing loss for the Packers, Taz, but don't want to take away anything away from the Eagles. They need to win that game, Taz. They were desperate. Right. They need to get themselves to 500. They did by hook or by crook. There's still injuries on that team and that secondary to be concerned about. Jordan Howard had 3 touchdowns, Taz. He was an absolute stud last night. They got Alshon Jeffrey back. He made some big plays, too. He had a touchdown reception. Wentz threw for well under 200 yards in the game, but the Eagles ran for over 170 yards as a team. So very, very balanced offensively, and that's a hell of a road victory. Short week on the road. You're the visiting team, 1-2, staring at your season's dead in the eye, and you find a way to win it and beat Aaron Rodgers down 10-0 early in that game. In Lambeau Field, that's a hell of a win for the Eagles.
A massive win for the Eagles, for sure, who are now 2-2. And as you said, playing there in Lambeau Field, you know, Packers home, the Packers led in first downs, the Packers led in time possessions, the Packers had a plethora of opportunities, but yet that Eagles team, that Eagles defense stood up. And like you mentioned, you broke down a lot of the offensive guys for the Eagles, and that played well. Ertz, the tight end, was clutch in a lot of different situations. He had about 7 or 8 catches, played really well, played with a lot of fight and vigor, too, in that game. He plays hard. I like Ertz. You know, he's a really good tight
end.
He is. Anyway, it was a big win. Big win for the Eagles, and this is something that maybe, you know, a win like this now maybe gets you locked in and gets you on track a little bit here. You know, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, a big road win now. You have a very winnable game next week as you're playing the Jets at home.
Yes.
So that's a great opportunity there for them to really get rock and rolling if you are the Philadelphia Eagles.
It is. Might be a Jet team that does have their star quarterback, Sam Darnold, back. But still, a Jet team that's got a number of issues. But a great Thursday night win for the city and for the team, for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Number 2.
Jalen Ramsey's trade request still stands.
Yeah, so Jalen Ramsey flew earlier in the week, right? Then back injury. Now he's on paternity leave with Jacksonville, right? His girlfriend, not wife, right?
It's either his girlfriend or his fiance. I saw two different things. Yeah. They're not married, though.
She's getting set to give birth. So he's away from the football team. His trade demand still stands, Taz. They've not been able to rectify it or pacify it, whatever it might be. He talked about disrespect. He said there's no hate for the organization, man. He just talked about it being feeling disrespected. So emotions run high for Jalen Ramsey. You and I both want him to remain with the Jaguars, and we're both in agreement. I thought at this stage, this would be more of a non-story than a continued story. I thought they would have come to some sort of a common ground here between Ramsey and the Jaguars, and that's not the case.
Definitely, especially after the victory last Thursday night. You know, that was a nice win for them, for the Jags. And I even said it on last week's program, I felt like, you know, once you win, things change. Maybe Jalen Ramsey has a good game, which he did. You know, all that stuff happened, and you beat the Titans at home, and everybody sees it. It was a big deal and for them. I thought that would chill things out, and it hasn't. It just seems like it's just keeps on going. I mean, I'd love to see him stay with the Jaguars, and the Jaguars have been patient. And there's been a lot of scuttlebutt as we're live in the morning here that the Philadelphia Eagles and the Jaguars more or less had a deal for one and a two from the Eagles for the Jags. And the Jags definitely could use a D-back, as you saw. They were a little bust up yesterday, their defensive backfield. A guy like Ramsey on the Eagles, I think, would, you know, really help the Eagles. But
no doubt.
I don't know, man. We were talking about this earlier. I got a feeling that's not happening. I think the Jaguars was a little too sharp for that. They're not going to get a high pick, to the point you made earlier.
Yeah, right. They're not going to get maybe the value. Well, right. The Eagles are a good team. So you look at, even if they get a first-round pick, it's going to be in the 20s.
That's
not
going to
be
a
top 10 selection. So, Taz, but I'm getting more of a feel that he's going to push the envelope even more to get out of Jacksonville.
I'm starting to think that too.
If you had to lean one way or another right now, and you know, this week is what it is. I'm talking about moving forward. He wants to go. The NFL trade deadline's not until what? Late October, I believe, Taz. So you've got a little bit of time here. But I'm getting a sense that at some point the Jaguars are going to move him because he wants to go so bad. Yeah. Unless they pay him. Now, Taz, they could do that unless they pay him, they come to him and say, yeah, listen, you feel disrespected. Let's go. Let's talk. Let's have a conversation. We want to sign you to a contract extension. I mean, that might help out the cause a little bit.
It might, but I don't know. I almost feel like Ramsey feels like he's going to get paid no matter where he goes. I mean,
true.
I don't know if it's that. I don't think the Jaguars are operating it. I know you're not saying this, but I'm not putting words in your mouth. I'm just saying, I don't think the Jags are looking to cheap out in any way, shape, or form with a guy like Ramsey. I think I think this is more than money. I think it's more about, you know, he just doesn't make, it seems like he just doesn't want to be there. For either it's something with Marone or if it's something with Coughlin. Who knows? And his teammates seem to love him, and he loves his teammates. So it's not that. So, I don't know. He basically said, yes, I saw it. I think I saw it on the NFL, NFL.com. Basically said, my trade request still stands.
Yes.
So, you know, there it is.
October 29th, NFL trade deadline. So we got 4 weeks here to still see what happens with Ramsey down in Jacksonville.
Number three.
Tony Romo shoots 2 under 70. Lowest PGA Tour score of his career.
Now people would be like, well, who cares, right? He's tied for 28th. He's playing out there in Napa Valley.
Right.
At the Silverado Country Club and Resort. North course, by the way. They have a south course as well, which has got to be equally beautiful.
Yeah, I'd love to go there and smoke a cigar and drink some scotch.
There you go. The beautiful redwoods.
Watch Romo play golf.
So Romo shoots 2 under. So the impact is Romo, we know, is an avid golfer, and we know he shoots his scratch, and he's tried to make the U.S. Open, is that if Romo makes the cut today, CBS's Boomer Esiason will be in the booth in Chicago as the Vikings come to town to do the game with Jim Nantz.
And Gio, otherwise known as Greg Giannotti, that is his real name, will tag along with him like a little puppy. Because he is a Redskin fan. And you people, listen to
Greg Giannotti.
You people know Greg. You know Gio. He used to be the host here before Moose and I dominated the airways. And he went over to WFAM, but I digress. So, yeah. So, Boomer Esiason. I hope Romo does go and makes it through the rain. And he does his thing. And I'd love to hear Boomer and his buddy, Jim Nantz.
Hello, friends.
Call some football. And it'd be great. It'd be great. It really would. I'm a little disappointed, as I said earlier, and I said it yesterday, that Romo would kind of look at his regular job calling NFL games as like it's almost like that's not the priority. You know, that's a little bit of a disappointment. And I'm a big Romo fan, as you know, so I'm a little disappointed in that.
Well, his dream is, you know, the thing is he's got leverage, right?
He does have leverage because they all love him.
They all want him. Fox, ESPN, CBS. I mentioned it yesterday. I was right. Madden, the high water mark for him was $8 million a year as an NFL analyst. Romo could get around that number.
Remember I told you how much
I was golf all the time.
I was glowing about Romo a year and a half, and you were like, oh, he sucks. Oh, stop. You're ripping me. And I told you.
I'm not a big Romo guy.
Yeah, but next to you know, see, you have to trust my instincts. The guy is the hottest commodity. He's allowed to go play golf and blow off his job.
No, that was not my point, though.
Yes, it was. You said that he's stuck.
I don't care for an analyst. Does nothing for me. Tony Romo, I understand that you love him, and a lot of people love him.
I got to be honest with you.
I'm not watching a game because Tony Romo is doing the game.
I know, but that's not... I could go on. This topic.
You love him, I don't.
No, that's not about Tony. Forget Tony. The analyst thing.
Yeah.
I don't understand how anybody could not sink their teeth into good analyzing of a sport with an ex-legitimate athlete from that sport. That's what real. That's what you really. You're watching the game last night. Aikman's not bringing you some information that you didn't know as a former player, as an NFL quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff is... So A-Rod's calling a baseball game on ESPN.
No, A-Rod does nothing for me.
A-Rod sometimes A-Rod's a little underrated. He brings some insight. No, he does.
We'll agree. On A-Rod. I watch enough during the course of the week from guys breaking down games and watching some game film and stuff like that I'm not going to necessarily pick up all that much from an analyst. Now, they could add something in terms of... Hold entertainment.
On. But there's a little different story. Which it's unfair, unless I misunderstood you. I might have misunderstood you. It's unfair to compare the way a color commentator in a booth during a live game breaks something down compared to someone in a studio. Because when you're in a studio, you have more time. When you're in the middle of the live action, you have to be succinct.
I'm not comparing one or the other. I'm just saying I've studied up enough during the course of the week that there's nothing really that I'm going to all of a sudden learn on a Sunday that the analyst is going to tell me.
Okay, well,
not to be arrogant about it, but that's kind of the way it is.
What about the average Joe football fan? He's not sitting there in a studio at SNY or WFAN or CBS Sports Radio doing all their research on sports like you are.
But I get it, but that's part of my job. But I never said that you can't enjoy Tony Romo or nobody can enjoy Tony Romo. I gave you my opinion on Tony Romo and analysts.
No, I understand that.
People can enjoy him. That's fine.
Yeah,
people do enjoy him. And I'm not knocking if you enjoy Tony Romo. Enjoy Tony Romo. Enjoy Chris Collinsworth. Enjoy them all.
Let me ask your opinion about something. So, like, yesterday, WWE, they shuffled up their announced teams on Raw and SmackDown, right? For the coming year, right? For this fall season in TV.
Okay.
So they shuffled it up. So they don't, like, on Raw, well, they have Jerry Lawler there, but I don't know, you know. Let's just, they have, like, a new kid there that's wrestled for a cup of coffee. And that's how quick he was in the business. And a play-by-play guy who's obviously never wrestled. So when you, like, with that, if you're watching, let's just say it's wrestling or something like that, you compare that to the NBA. And the NBA, and there's a play-by-play guy who never played the sport. And then there's somebody else who is a younger guy who played basketball maybe 1 year in college but never made it to the NBA. So if they're calling the game together, you don't care if they're calling the game together or if it's a guy like Charles Barkley as opposed to that kid who never played in the NBA.
I don't think playing or being a star in the league equates to having a great understanding of the league.
Yeah, we're going to have to just... Seriously, disagree on that.
That's fine. Being able to hand down the information or explain the lead. I don't think experience or being able to play it. I don't think Ian Eagle's a tremendous play-by-play man.
That has nothing to do with
the NBA.
Hang on. But there's a big difference. I'm not. I'm explaining it. Give me a chance. There's a big difference between a play-by-play guy and a color analyst. There's two different roles. Ian Eagle's a really bad example. Ian Eagle's Joe Buck. My point is, I'm talking about a color commentator / color analyst, a guy or girl who's lived the game at the highest level. To me, I mean, you watch all bigger sport. You watch CBS Sports TV, college football. It's all ex-coaches with a play-by-play guy in the studio. And when you're working at SNY, how many ex-Mets are in there with you, right? I mean, they're there for a reason. They're because they're giving their expertise as former players.
No, I get it, but some were more impactful in the majors than others.
That doesn't matter. As long as they have a certain amount of time, in my opinion, as long as they have a certain amount of time in the game.
No, you said in your example, you said a play-by-play voice with experience in the league. You also said a star.
I didn't say play-by-play. So you're confusing that. I said a color commentator. There's a big difference.
No, you saw a star in the league as compared to a guy that had a cup of coffee.
I didn't say a star. I used Charles Barkley as the first thing that popped my head compared to a young kid who... You don't have to be a star. You got to have some legitimacy as a player in a pro league, or I don't care if it's in the wrestling industry or if it's the NBA or the NHL or the NFL. A guy who has... a little bit long in the tooth, who knows what it's like to be a champion or almost be a champion, well, as opposed to someone who's got no experience.
For the most part, everyone that's a color analyst at some point in time did something in regards to the sport.
Usually, but lately, we're seeing in wrestling, it's been changing a little bit, which is a little perplexing. We're not talking about wrestling, I know that, but I'm saying, I don't know.
I didn't see the new broadcast rules in wrestling. Yeah. I mean, I'm just going off the NBA, NHL, and NFL, and all those guys that are analysts that at some point played at one level or another.
And some, it should be, right. You're right. I mean, most of the time, yes, you are correct. But I hope it doesn't, I don't know. I guess because I think the color analyst is vital for a TV broadcast in any pro sport. I just really believe in that, and I think that's why that's been the model. And we're looking at something at ESPN right now. You got whatever the guy with the beard talking, that guy Greenberg's, and you got four guys with him that all played in the NFL.
Yeah,
I mean that those guys are giving their professional opinion on things. That's why they belong there. So that's an analyst. No, I thought you were saying like you don't. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not putting words in your mouth. I might be a little bit, so bear with me. Like, you don't, when you watch the game, you don't really care about listening to the announcing or the color commentator.
No, I think they have a role and a job to play. I don't get caught up like it. Like, I've said it before, I don't really get caught up in who's doing the game. It's not a great difference maker for me. At one point in time when I was younger, I probably did. I love Madden and Summerall, but it doesn't anymore. That's the whole point. Right. But Robo, listen, Robo's great at what he does. He's very popular. He's going to make himself a lot of money, and we'll see if he makes the cut this weekend. Crazy. And if he does, you'll see Boomer Nance out in Chicago as the Vikings take on the Bears. That's exactly right. It's Taz and the Moose with you here on this Friday morning on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, don't miss Spence Jr. versus Porter tomorrow at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Order now live on pay-per-view. Also available on the Fox Sports app. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That is your number to call. We got NFL picks here coming up momentarily, Taz. As you have done very nice job with your college picks and your NFL picks to start the year. We're at week 4. The Thursday night game went the Eagles' way. We were both on the Packers yesterday, but that didn't count in the record books. But I got a rally in that one, too. Further behind in the NFL. So today is where I make my stand.
Yeah, well, you know, but I think you will. I
maybe.
Have confidence in you.
I don't know. Who knows?
I'm humble. I don't want to brag. I am, you know, doing great with all the picks.
So. You are. You're doing fantastic. Last week we were both 2-1, but so far this year you're 7-2.
Well, if you want to know why, Moose, I could tell you you're kind of irking at, not irking, you're trying to itch it to get at me to tell you why. I'll tell you why. It's my gut instinct. It's my, it's just my feel.
Should call today. Head on out to Vegas. There you go. All right. Well
just,
said.
Yeah, it's just my face.
Deep
my
analysis.
Wow. Let's head out to Jersey. It's our friend of the show. It's John.
He is John. He is John. He is John from Jersey.
Mr. Patriot here on Taz and the Moose. Mr. Bill is Taz. So Taz and John go mano a mano this weekend as we got Pats and Bills up there in Orchard Park. Good morning, Johnny. How are you?
I'm good, Moose. What's up, brother?
What's going on?
Big John, what are you doing?
I am actually driving up to Buffalo right now, man. We're ready to go.
Are you on the New York State Thruway?
We'll be getting there shortly. Now I'm sitting on the Garden State Parkway in
it's a parking lot right now, so have fun with that. So are you solo Jones, or you have a guest?
No, I am. We'll be meeting a few friends up there for the weekend, doing a little horse racing, simulcasting at Finger Lakes for a couple
big
days.
Day at Belmont tomorrow.
There we go.
That's right.
There we go. The boys are at it.
A little Mark Malusa's Monzo podcast on the way up.
That's it. Wow. Later on to that. Yes.
Subtle plug.
How about that? Look
at that. A little plug for the Moose.
That's
it. There you go.
Checks in the mail, Johnny. What do you think about this weekend's game?
I am very worried about the game. I mean, I think the Pats are banged up. I think especially the offensive line. And I think the Bills' defense is a little better than people give it credit for. I think Josh Allen might have a bit of trouble with our defense. But I'm expecting a close game, a good game, and, you know, We shall see, brother. It's all hands on deck this weekend. Big game. Big game.
Now, how do you handle, because how do you handle the parking lot scenario, being a Patriot fan and knowing how rabid the Bill fan is up there in Orchard Park? How do you handle that? Do you go, you know, hat down right into the stadium, or are you partying with the Bills fans?
Well, actually, two of my friends that I am meeting live up in that area, and they are very big Bill fans. So I will be tailgating with them.
Oh, so you got some cover.
Be careful.
Yes, a bit of cover. You got to, you know, try to, you know,
hold on.
I'm going to go into enemy territory by myself.
Well, yeah, but that's not going to help you. You're going to be wearing this triple extra large.
My Brady jersey, Brady hat. See, I'm ready to go, man. See,
you're wearing your Brady stuff. There's going to be a problem. Be careful in the parking lot, John. Just really, you got to be careful.
My advice, John, would be to kill a Bills fan right when you get there to send a message to the rest of the group.
And spread the blood on your face.
Yeah. John, that was Andrew
Bogus. Walk around the parking lot.
AB wishing you to murder someone, basically.
Yeah, that's it.
Just suggesting, not wishing.
And if you do that, take video. Send it to Mikey B, and we'll put it on the IG.
Or you could go to a Buffalo butcher, get some blood, some pig's blood, and just pour it over the top of you. Definitely. No one will come near you.
That's actually a good idea. Rather that Patriots fan. Let's whoop his ass. No, he's not. Stuck. He's full of blood. He's like Carrie. Carrie. Remember Carrie?
Yes, it's Carrie. What was that, 72?
Hopefully it will not be.
No, it is 72, yeah.
But we shall see.
Yeah, hopefully there's no physicality.
Well,
but,
John, safe travels, all right?
Of course, man.
You enjoy the game. Enjoy
the
game.
No, no, hold on a second. Wow. You think the Bills win or the Pats win, John?
I think the Pats 20-17. I can't pick the Bills. I mean, come on. Let's go Pats.
20-17.
That's what, Johnny. Thanks a lot.
Go
for the call.
Pats!
All right, John, 20-17. Close game.
Yeah, I know. He's nervous.
Good game.
It's nice to hear a Patriot fan's a little nervous. I like that.
He is.
I like that.
A little nervous.
I still think he's a kind of a work, as far as a worked Pats fan. Come on. He's a huge Jersey guy, man.
He was calling me when I was working overnight to the fan. For like 11 years, I talked to John. Oh, he's Mr. Patriot, dude.
Really?
Oh, my God. And then if you stoke the fires with him, he gets angry Patriot.
Nice.
Nice. he's a good-hearted guy, but he is Mr. Patriot. He'll defend Belichick and Brady basically to his grave.
That's tremendous. Wow, look who just walked in.
Yes.
I was here earlier suggesting murder, but whatever.
That's true.
Here's your report.
Why you gotta ruin the bit? Always. Bit killer.
What up, Andrew?
Hey, Moose. Thanks so much. Here's your report.
Good luck
sponsored
with Fordham play-by-play
Geico.
Tomorrow.
Thank you.
1 o'clock. Where can we all hear it?
The Patriot League Network.
Patriot League Network
PatriotLeague.com, I think, but it's also
/stadium.
Stadium, which is a streaming app.
Stadium.
Seglio will tweet out the link.
The guy who does play-by-play on the internet.
Yeah. Shut up, Zach.
The Patriot League Network actually is really good. I used to subscribe to it.
Of course, right?
Yeah. So it actually is very good, and you're right. It's what's you can get it on Stadium there now. It didn't used to be like that. It used to just be Patriot League Network,
thing, yeah.
Right? But and it's still good. So anybody who wants to listen to Andrew Bogus.
Tomorrow, 1 o'clock,
live
sharp.
From Fordham University, women's basketball.
That's messed up. That's not right that you did that. It really is.
Zach.
It's just wrong.
Just cold.
So many fronts.
Making fun of your career.
Play-by-play
on the internet?
And your impact.
I saw you.
Only stuck in a dungeon making commercials for Joe and Evan.
That's
on
true.
WFAN.
All doing the three.
Can't say Saquon.
You're all doing Saquon. The three. That's true. All doing the three. You know, he does imaging for this show, too. It's
That's
not just for other
the
shows.
The lone good news for him.
Why has it always got to be the fan, right? Always with you. So, right, Moose. Always got to be the fan. Andrew Bogus. Always got to be the fan. Loves the fan, but yet he's all over CBS Sports Radio. But he's always chirping the fan, the fan,
well,
the fan,
intro
the fan,
the
fan.
Campgrounds is on their Marconi list.
Mm. You love the fan. You got to mention the fan stuff.
Here's
all
the problem.
Time. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I was not complimenting Zach for having to make commercials.
You
were
minimizing
WFAN.
His career and his life.
Thank you. Thank
Good
you,
job.
For, you got that.
And
well
life.
Done, Andrew. Continue.
You were minimizing his career and
yeah,
his life.
That's what I was doing. Here's your report. It's sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
I just always tell them, ain't nobody f***ing with us.
Apparently, Aaron Rodgers had never done this before.
Shotgun for Rodgers. Two receivers right. Rodgers looks that way. Throws. Popped up in the air. Intercepted.
Sergio Bradham's got it off the ricochet, and Bradham is brought down at the 21.
Ian Eagle on Westwood 1. Linebacker Nigel Bradham catching the deflection of teammate Craig James, locking in a 34-27 Eagle win at Lambeau. It's the first, apparently, career INT for Rodgers from inside the three-yard line. Philly took the lead for good early fourth quarter on running back Jordan Howard's third score of the night.
They know I'm on tonight. My hips don't lie and I'm starting to feel it's right. With the attraction, the tension. Don't you see, baby, this is perfection.
She's doing the game, the Super Bowl.
Yeah, with J-Lo.
Is that the girl?
Shakira, yeah.
Yeah, with J-Lo.
Oh, both of them, right?
Wow, what a coincidence.
Correct, yes.
Yes, they are the officially the halftime show.
Is that why you played
show.
That bit?
It is, yes.
Oh, didn't they announce it early?
There was reports like 2 weeks ago that J-Lo was about to say yes. Yesterday
but
was the official announcement.
Or maybe I'm wrong. Tez, don't you remember us discussing this like later on in the year?
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, you mean earlier
I mean, maybe,
than
maybe
usual.
I'm off. I thought it was like... I could have swore it was later on in fall that they made this announcement.
I always thought it was during like later during the season once you get... Yeah. Towards the playoffs.
We talked about this a little bit. I do remember that.
Well, last year we discussed it because we were ripping the selection.
Who was it last year? Maroon 5?
Yes, Maroon 5. We were ripping the selection, and you know their halftime show wasn't all that great. But I was like, wait, they're announcing the halftime show already? We're not even through 4 weeks of the NFL.
Yeah.
I could have swore. Maybe I'm wrong, but I could have sworn
later. I guess they're trying to just get some kind
when
of
when did they announce Maroon 5 last
I'm
year?
I'm Googling now.
You're Googling now.
Yeah.
All right.
Go on your update.
Can't find
you're Googling.
It.
Okay. I'll look for it.
We have teams that could do
it. It was during January, but I have to read this article. There was something that was going on why they announced it later. So I think last year may have been later than
usual.
Well,
I think last year was no one wanted to do it. Remember? I think part of it was people were asking out because of their Colin Kaepernick.
That's correct.
So that's why this year feels early, just because last year was
so late. Okay. All right, thank you.
Oh. This is when I talk again?
Yes.
Where were we?
Unless you enjoy dead air.
As for the game last night, the Packers scored the first 10 points of the game, then erased an 8-point hole, but then couldn't stay unbeaten. And now they've got their fingers crossed that Davante Adams' toe injury is not too bad. Adams did not finish the game. Jaguars corner Jalen Ramsey said on a podcast yesterday his trade request stands, but Ramsey seems okay with continuing to play for Jacksonville in the meantime. He is still away with his family following the birth of his daughter. The Chargers will not have running back Melvin Gordon back Sunday in Miami, by all accounts. His holdout ending just yesterday. And they may be thin at receiver with Mike Williams not having practiced yet this week with back troubles. And Travis Benjamin's already out with a hip injury. The Houston Astros failed to clinch home field through the ALCS last night, losing in 12 in Anaheim 4-3. Shortstop Carlos Correa will not play the rest of the regular season to get his nagging back ready for the playoffs. The A's a 3-1 win in Seattle, reducing their magic number for clinching a wild card to just one. Cleveland falls two games behind idle Tampa Bay for the last spot with an 8-0 loss at the White Sox. And Lakers forward Kyle Kuzma is out till at least mid-October with a stress reaction in his left foot suffered this summer with Team USA. Kuzma gets an MRI when the Lakers are back from their preseason trip to China in roughly 3 weeks. Boys?
Good luck tomorrow. Have a good broadcast.
We'll thank you. You too.
I'll be watching and listening.
I appreciate that. I look forward to your text.
Taz and the Moose, Eagles. NFL picks. Week 4, they come your way next.
Thank you.
On a Friday morning, right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time right now to Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Bob in Michigan. Let me hear your NFL picks now. Well, Bobby, hold on a second. All right. We'll get to you here. We all love demands. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So a little bit of a reset here. When you look at the National Football League, as we were touting Taz before, coming off a good week. 2-1 last week for the season. Hot as firecrackers, we mentioned last week. 7-2 on the year. I've got a rally. I am 3-6. That is brutal. 2-1 winning week last week. So we've got to keep it going. Let's get to it. Week 4, NFL, go.
The Taz and Moose picks are for fun only. This is not for gambling purposes, just some chuckles and a good time. Enjoy the Taz and Moose picks now. Listen irresponsibly.
It's now time for the Taz and Moose NFL picks. The three picks you need to know.
All right, there we go. Taz, dealer's choice. As you were in the college, you led the way. You want to lead the way in the NFL, or you want me to go first? Your choice. Your
dealer's
call.
Choice. I'll take the lead again on this one.
There you go.
I'm going to go your Redskins against the New York Giants. So, Giants obviously have their new quarterback that's locked in plays, DJ, Daniel Jones, Dimes Jones, whatever you want to call the kid. He looks to be pretty, pretty good. Duke Blue Devil himself. We'll see what happens. They don't have that great running back. Barkley's out, obviously, with the low leg injury. So, we've talked about it a lot. We understand how bad the defense is of the Giants, but we also understand how bad the Moose's Redskins are flat out.
Terrible.
Hence why they're an underdog in this game. They're -3, +3, I should say, the Redskins are. I feel this is the bottom line for me. The G-men at home, okay, they're going to win and they're going to cover. So they're going to cover the -3. So give me the Giants in this game. It should be a bigger line. Give the Redskins 10.
Oh, 10?
No, I'm exaggerating. Not 10.
But you'll lay the field goal.
I'll leave the field goal. Yeah.
All right, and you'll take the Giants. Let's pick one for you. Pick one for me. Monday night was good last week for me. I'm going to go back to Monday night, and then I'll pick a couple games on Sunday. I'm going to take the Steelers. I'm going to lay the 4 at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. 2-0-3 teams. The Steelers now coming back east after the West Coast lost last week in which they did not take advantage of 5 49er turnovers, a game that they really conceivably should have won. They believe they could turn the season around. If they're going to do it, it's got to start Monday night at home at Heinz Field. I would imagine Mason Rudolph plays better. Cincinnati showed you a little bit of a little bit of backbone in that second half last week against Buffalo. Their rally cost me a cover in a 3-0 week last week. I'm going back to that well again. I'm going to take the Steelers Monday night, lay the 4. That's pick one for me.
All right. So I'm going to go Sunday afternoon game, 4:05 p.m. Eastern. We have the Rams, L.A. Rams at home, and they got the Buccaneers coming into town. The Rams are -9.5. Listen, I think you got Jared Goff, who's just looking pretty good this year. Gurley, Woods, you got just a weapon after weapon after weapon on the team, along with Aaron Donald on that defensive front for just a powerful, awesome defense the Rams have. They're my fantasy team defense, by the way, just a side note. I'm a big, big fan of their defense with Aaron Donald leading the charge there. But, like I was saying, I really feel offensively it's just too much. I understand it's 9.5. It's a big spread that the Bucs are getting. It don't matter. Rams are home. I feel they cover. They're going to eat the Buccaneers up. Never been a huge fan of Jameis Winston. They're 1-2 for a reason, the Buccaneers. This is 9.5. They're going to cover. Rams, I'll take the Rams all the way. Give the Bucs 9.5. Give them 10. Hell, give them 10. So that's my pick.
See, like the Rams laying the points against Tampa Bay back home against Jameis and the guys. All right, I'm going to go down to Atlanta. The Falcons are desperate. Losing Neal in that secondary certainly is going to hurt back-to-back years. Now a torn Achilles. I believe last year was torn ACL. That certainly hurts Dan Quinn's team. Pressure's on him. He's got to win this year. Disappointment a year ago. They welcome in a Tennessee Titan team where you heard their talented tight end call him out earlier in the week. Now, Atlanta's desperate. I think they play desperate. They played much better in the second half last week in Indianapolis against the Colts to no avail. The Colts put together a drive and cemented home that victory. Atlanta comes back home. They're laying 4. I'm going to lay that 4. Give me the Falcons. Ryan plays well. Jones plays well. They're able to run it efficiently enough. I don't think Mariota can not turn the football over. Give me the Falcons laying 4 to get themselves to the 500 mark at 2-2. That's pick 2 for me.
All right, that's a good pick. I like that, Moose. We got Sunday night action, 8:20 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be in the lovely Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana, as the Saints host the Dallas Cowboys, the 3-0.
Big game.
Dallas Cowboys, very big game. Hell of an NFC matchup, for sure. If Drew Brees was in this game for the Saints, it'd be even bigger. But guess what? If my aunt had you-know-what, she'd be my uncle. So my point is, there's no Drew Brees. So, Dallas is laying 2.5. It's very rare. Moose, you would know better than me. I don't know the last time the Saints were an underdog at home.
Oh, it's got to be wild.
That's what I'm saying. So
maybe the days of Bobby Hebert.
Oh, wow. Jeez. Bobby Hebert. I remember him. He went to Tulane.
You might be right. I don't know what college he went to.
I think Bobby Hebert. How do you spell his last name? Hebert.
H-E-B-E-R-T.
For our research team. I'm pretty sure he went to Tulane. Anyway. So, why did I keep thinking that? Green Wave Jones. So
I'm sorry, I threw you off.
All right, no problem. So, 3-0 Cowboys, 2-1 Saints. Listen, Dallas cover. Dallas covers, you know, in that tough Superdome, I understand that. Bridgewater's been playing better. I know that. But I'm sorry, 2.5. I think Dallas Cowboys cover. I'll take Dallas all the way in this.
All right, you're going to lay the 2.5.
Yeah.
A Northwestern State University for Bobby Hebert.
Why I thought Tulane.
No. Oh, no, I had no idea.
Okay, sorry, wait, real quick before you give your pick. I think he played in the USFL for one of the franchises in Louisiana.
Ah, you are correct.
I think that's what it was.
No, you are correct. He did play in the USFL.
There you go.
He did play in in that league.
I don't remember for what team, but whatever.
Pick 3 for me. I'm going to go with the Colts. It's not a game that I love. I had a hard time finding that third game. I'm going to lay the 6.5. It's under a touchdown now. The Raiders on the road. I believe in Brissett. I think they're a sound team. Reich, as Taz and I talked about earlier on, has done a hell of a job coaching that team up. And they are a talented bunch. Defensively, Taz, the offensive line is very good. And you know, it seems like the Raiders are just kind of a rudderless mess right now. Do they not? Carr's turning the football over. They don't really have any sort of identity on either side of the football. What exactly do the Raiders do anything great? They don't really do anything great. And that's honestly kind of a problem. You look at that Colt team, that might not be dynamic, and Hilton injury certainly does hurt, but Brissett's going to play clean. They've changed the offense around to make use of his mobility. I know the defense can do some things as well. Offensive line is rock solid. My third and final pick, I'm going to take the Colts. It's under a touchdown now. A little bit of love for the Raiders. I'm going to lay the 6.5. That is pick 3 for me.
All right, well.
You didn't touch the Bills-Pats game.
I'm afraid. I'm being honest.
Why,
I'm just showing
why are you afraid?
I don't want to. I just don't.
I thought for sure. We've been talking about that game all week long. I thought for sure one of those picks was going to be the Bills and Pats.
I thought for sure. I thought you.
No. That's your team. You're 3-0 Buffalo. Here we go.
Ah, man, I don't know. I don't want to jinx nothing.
I got you.
Maybe that's why. I mean, I'm a little superstitious. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm just nervous. Yeah, and I have
look who it is.
This is a blast from the past.
Bwami, he's back.
The Washington Redskins stink. That's why I'm taking the Giants -2.5, -3, -14 over the Washington Redskins this Sunday. As you must.
Wow, look at that. Well, Bwami, it's been a while since we've heard him. He's dead on correct. The Redskins do stink.
He sounded more Brooklynese than ever.
Yes, and he's done a little bit of an altered line. He's telling you to lay 14, buy it up. You get even better odds if you do that. Walk into any sports book, and you can buy up the spread. And they call it an adjusted line in the trade, and you get even bigger odds.
Wow.
So he would lay 2.5, he would lay 3, and he would even lay 14. But he loves the Giants this week. You and Bwami are on the same page, Taz. Often isn't the case.
Yeah.
And Bwami ended his run here. Last time we heard from him, it was a little bit of a cold streak.
Yeah, he sucked. By the way, if you want to hear more Bwami, he's on the Taz show sometimes.
Yes.
Podcast. Yeah.
I know.
That's
I've
an
heard.
Opener. We borrowed it from your intellectual property. Was,
yes.
Thank you.
Yes, we went down that road before.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're welcome. good show, Mike, Pete, across the way. Bogus with the updates. Taz, good stuff, brother. Good luck Sunday. So. Enjoy that Bills game.
Yes, enjoy the games, everyone.
You got it. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Make sure to download that podcast, radio.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever podcasts are. Have a wonderful weekend. Till Monday, everybody. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.